Yashodanandana Braja Janaranjana
Yashodanandana Braja Janaranjana
Yamuna Tira Vanachari
Yamuna Tira Vanachari
Yamuna Tira
Satya Sri Srimad Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 27, Text 9. Attack by Chandavega on the city of Paranjana. Putranam Chabavan Putra.
Putranam Chabavan Putra.
Ekaikasya Shatam Shatam.
Ekaikasya Shatam Shatam.
Yairvai Paranjano Vamsa. Panchalishu samaditaha.
Panchalishu samaditaha.
Putranam chabavan putra.
Putranam chabavan putra.
Ekaikasya shatam shatam.
Ekaikasya shatam shatam.
Yayurvai Paranjano Vamsa.
Yayurvai Paranjano Vamsa.
Panchaleshu Shamidataha.
Panchaleshu Shamidataha.
Putranam Chabavan Putra.
Putranam Chabavan Putra.
Ikaikasya Shatam Shatam.
Ikaikasya Shatam Shatam.
Yayurvai Paranjano Vamsa.
Yayurvai Paranjano Vamsa.
Panchaleshu Samidataha.
Panchaleshu Samidataha.
Please chant.
Putranam
Chabavan
Putra.
Ekai kasya shatam shatam.
Yayurvai Paranjano Vamsa.
Panchaleshu Samedita.
Putranam
Chabavan
Putra.
Ekaiksya shatam shatam.
Yayurvai
Paranjano
Vamsa.
Panchaleshu Samidata. Putranam Chabavam Putra. Ekaiksya shatam shatam. Panchaleshu Samedata. Putranam Chabavam Putra. Ekaikasya Shatam Shatam. Yayurvai Paranjano Vamsa. Panchaleshu Samedata. Translation. Putranam
of the sons.
Cha,
also.
Abhavan were produced. Putraha,
sons.
Eka, ekasya,
of each one.
Shatam, hundred. Shatam,
hundred.
Yai,
by whom?
Vai,
certainly.
Paranjanaha,
of King Paranjana.
Pamshaha,
family.
Panchaleshu, in the hand of Panchala. Sameditaha,
greatly increased.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Of these many sons, each produced hundreds and hundreds of grandsons. In this way, the whole city of Panchala became overcrowded by these sons and grandsons of King Paranjana. Purport. We must remember that Paranjana is the living entity, and the city Panchala is the body. The body is the field of activity for the living entity, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Kshetra Kshetragya. There are two constituents. One is the living entity, Kshetragya, and the other is the body of the living entity, Kshetra. Any living entity can know that he is covered by the body if he only contemplates the body a little bit. Just with a little contemplation, he can come to understand that the body is his possession. One can understand this by practical experience and by the authority of the Shastras. In Bhagavad Gita 2.13, it is said, Dehino sminyata dehi, the proprietor of the body. The soul is within the body. The body is taken as the Panchala Desha, or the field of activities, wherein the living entity can enjoy the senses in their relationship to the five sense objects
namely Gandha, Rasa, Rupa, Sparsha, and Shabda. That is, sense objects made out of earth, water, fire, air, and sky. Within this material world, covered by the material body of subtle and gross matter, every living entity creates actions and reactions, which are herein known allegorically as sons and grandsons. There are two kinds of actions and reactions, namely pious and impious. In this way, our material existence becomes coded by different actions and reactions. In this regard, Srila Narottam Das Thakur states, Karma Kanda Jnana Kanda Kevala Vishara Bandha Amrita Balya Ye Bakaya Nana Yoni Sada Fire Kadarya Bakshana Kare Tara Janma Adaha Adaha Pate Yaya. Fruit of activities and mental speculation are simply cups of poison. Whoever drinks of them, thinking them to be nectar, must struggle very hard life after life. In different types of bodies, such a person eats all kinds of nonsense and becomes condemned by his activities of so-called sense enjoyment. Thus, the field of action and reactions by which one's descendants are increased begins with sex life. Puranjana increased his whole family by begetting sons who were in their turn begot grandsons. Thus, the living entity, being inclined towards sexual gratification, becomes involved in many hundreds and thousands of actions and reactions. In this way, he remains within the material world simply for the purpose of sense gratification and transmigrates from one body to another. His process of reproducing so many sons and grandsons results in so-called societies, nations, communities, and so on. All these communities, societies, dynasties, and nations simply expand from sex life. As stated by Prahlad Maharaj, Yan Matunadi Krihamedi Shukam Hi Tucham, Bhagavatam 7.9.45. A Grihamedi is one who wants to remain within this material existence. This means that he wants to remain within this body or society and enjoy friendship, love, and community. His only enjoyment is increasing the number of sex enjoyers. He enjoys sex and produces children, who in their turn marry and produce grandchildren. The grandchildren also marry and in their turn produce great-grandchildren. In this way, the entire earth becomes overpopulated, and then suddenly there are reactions provoked by material nature in the form of war, famine, pestilence, and earthquakes, etc. Thus the entire population is again extinguished simply to be recreated. This process is explained in Bhagavad Gita 8.19 as repeated creation and annihilation, bhutva bhutva pralayate. Due to a lack of Krishna consciousness, all this creation and annihilation is going on under the name of human civilization. This cycle continues due to man's lack of knowledge of the soul and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay, so thank you very much for having me. I'm very low soul, but I'll try to say something about this passage of Bhagavatam for all the devotees. So this purport is pretty long here. There's several points that stuck out to me. The first point was Prabhupada was... Maybe I'll read the translation one more time. Of these many sons, each produced hundreds and hundreds of grandsons. In this way, the whole city of Panchala became overcrowded by these sons and grandsons of King Puranjana. So, the first point in this purport that I'd like to discuss was the point that the living entity, it's saying that there's two parts to the living entity's existence in this world. And the one is the Kshetragya, which is the actual living entity, and who is the proprietor of the material body, Kshetra. That's the body of the living entity. And so what this means is that the living entity is separate from the material body, but due to thinking, Prabhupada says in this purport that immediately when one thinks that one thinks anything about the body, thinking about contemplating the sense objects, anything, thinking I am this body, even, you know, false ego, intelligence, mind, then they immediately come under the sway of bodily consciousness. And so practically that happens right at the time of birth. We're thinking we're this body. So it's not easy to undo this awful condition. We're thinking, you know, we're this child, we're this teenager, we're this adult, we're this old elderly person. And then you die and start all over again. And so this is the part of Krishna consciousness. This is very important for us to remember, is that we're not the body. And I know it's easy for us to say like that, but the way we actually do that, we have to act on that. And the way we can purify our, you know, sinful desires is by, you know, engaging all of our senses in Krishna's service. And then we'll become purified by chanting Krishna's names with the tongue, by doing different things with the different functions of the body. We gradually come to the platform of the soul where we don't think we're the body and the demands of the body. We learn, we can understand that the mind is only, you know, acting selfishly. The mind's job is to keep us entangled in this material world. The false ego, the mind and the intelligence, these are very subtle aspects of the material universe, but they're much more powerful than the gross objects such as the, you know, body and the different elements. And so we should understand that these things, these subtle entities within us, are meant only to keep us in this material world. This whole material world is a big, I want to say tabernacle, but I don't know if that's the correct word. But anyway, it's a big mess, because everyone's thinking they're the body, so they're acting in that way. And this is how, you know, so much envy, so much greed, hatred, you know, everyone's striving for a little sense gratification. That's all the mind tells us. So when the mind is, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he says, every morning you should beat your mind with shoes 100 times. And in the evening you should also beat your mind 100 times with a broom. And so what this means is that as soon as the mind deviates from Krishna, we should smash it and say, I don't want that. I've been in this material world so much. I don't want to be here anymore. So we should smash our mind. And in this way, give up all sense gratification. Give up eating all nonsense things, like Prabhupada's saying here. All nonsense things like that. Giving up all intoxication. Sex life, that's the main moving force of this material world. Prabhupada states that in the later part of the purport. So we should learn to control our mind and senses. And actually, if we can control our mind, then we can control our senses very easily. The senses, they flicker on and off. It's like some little desire may come up in the senses, but then you have to use your higher mind and your higher intelligence to say, I don't want that. You know, I'm trying to practice bhakti yoga. And as we heard from, you know, Ramapad Swami last night, is that you cannot attain Krishna if you're trying to get sense gratification, material sense gratification also. This doesn't work. The resolute determination to advance in bhakti yoga does not manifest in one who is striving for material enjoyment. So this is something we should take into consideration, that, you know, mainly our ISKCON movement is made of grihasthas, and so there's some license for sense gratification, but as we've been hearing throughout the last few verses, is that even the Grihastha, they should remain celibate. They should teach their kids Krishna conscious philosophy. Also, the parents, they should be, you know, trying their best to uphold the standard. They should, you know, be coming to the temple as much as possible. They should be chanting as much rounds as they can. It also states in Shastra that they should give 50% of their profits of income to the temple or, you know, some Krishna conscious project. I'm speculating, but I don't think that's really going on so much within this ISKCON movement. And so we should, you know, we should act like devotees outside, you know. Just because we're Grihasthas doesn't mean we should, you know, go to the movies or, you know, go to the theme park or, you know, whatever, just like a normal karmi or whatever. So we should try to be as Krishna conscious as possible. And, you know, just coming to the temple to, you know, singing kirtan once a week, yeah, that's nice. But realistically, are we really going to make advancement like that? So if someone wants to be very serious in Krishna consciousness, they should really try to engage all their senses all the time in Krishna's service. And also a part of that, something that's prominent now, is that many sannyasis are trying to get engaged, not many, but some are trying to get engaged in more varnashram projects. This is prominent in India. There's several coming up in USA at this time. And so the householders, Prabhupada wanted the householders to also, he wanted them to join these projects to help, you know, raise cattle for, for milking and, you know, plants and just live simple life. Attend all the programs and just do your seva on the farm. What's the difficulty? There is no difficulty. It's just these, you know, in the material world, people don't want the simple life. And so, unfortunately, this is carrying on to devotees. They're not giving up this, you know, their rajasic, passionate ways of life when they could live simply on a farm and just do farm life. It's so easy. So this is getting more popular. It was popular when Prabhupada was on the planet. He was really pushing for this. And as you can see, New Vrindavan was thriving. Major, massive community. I heard that 3,000 devotees were living on it at one point. A major community. And now it's coming up again. So this is something that's important for all devotees, is to get engaged. It's also nice to be preaching in the cities and stuff like that. But we have to be real with ourselves. You know, if we're living in the city, are we actually doing as much preaching as we could? Or, you know, this is something we should, you know, consider. So that was the first part of the purport I wanted to discuss. And the second part is this song by Narottam Das Thakur, where he's saying, it's talking about karma, and basically he's saying fruitive activities, you know, mental speculation, this is very bad. This is what every living entity in this material world is trying for. And so the devotee is finally coming to the, you know, understanding that these things are not what I want. And so nowadays, especially in the Western world, most kids that are thinking themselves spiritual, they're mental speculating a lot. They're just speculating on, you know, how, you know, what's going on in the universe, you know, like this. And ultimately, as Prabhupada states many times in his purports, that mental speculation, it can lead to impersonal Brahman realization. But it can't lead to the person Krishna. You cannot figure out Krishna. The only way you can understand Krishna is if he lets you understand, or the pure devotee lets you understand. So we should try to teach people this. And sometimes we speak this to people and they don't really appreciate it. They think, Oh, everyone has their own way to spiritual life. Everyone's got their own theory. That's, you know, you can't say that. And in one way, that's true. Everyone's on their own path. But in the higher sense, there's only one path. And that path is pure devotion to God. If you don't follow this path, then you're not going to God. I'm sorry. This is what we should tell them. We should say, look, if you want to do something else, that's cool, but you're not going to the highest destination. You may go somewhere else, but you're not going to the most ecstatic place in the whole creation, the whole existence, the whole reality, which is Goloka Vrindavan. You can't get there unless you get pure bhakti. So we should tell people like that. And of course, when we're preaching, we should try to, encourage people in whatever way we can to engage them in Krishna's service. We don't have to give them all heavy philosophy right away. We should, help ease them in and give them some nice encouragement. And then gradually they will want to know more about the philosophy. And if they don't want to adhere to the philosophy and the process, then they can go away. Or engage them in any way they can still. Maybe give them prasadam. They can eat it. That's the easiest thing for them. So, and also fruitive activities. Narottam Das Thakur is saying they're like poison. Whoever, first they taste a little bit like nectar in the material world. In the beginning it's nectar, and in the end it's poison. And so we can see this so easily. These people, they're drinking alcohol. They're drinking so much alcohol. And then the next day they feel like they're about to die. It doesn't even make sense how you think that's a good thing to do if your body is telling you, you're going to like die soon if you keep this up. But they continue just because they think it's the goal of life is to party and enjoy. This is a very bad situation of the living, of the humans of this earth right now. Their only concern is to enjoy. And this is what's driving everything. They're all driving, these wars and this and that, and they're all trying to enjoy this world. These rich people, they're keeping down all the, lower humans in the society. They're giving them such bad, poisonous food and poisonous living conditions and giving them poisonous medicines to say they're going to do good, but they really poison you further. It's all for money. It's all for greed, so they can enjoy these. But this isn't, actually, if the lower people, they also would do the same thing, probably, if they had the position. They also would exploit others. This is, in this time, they're saying, they're the ones exploited, so they're saying, we're so angry. But if they had the opportunity, they would also do it. Because that's what happens in this world. It's the exploited and the exploiters. And so we have to, teach everyone. We should try and go to the high levels of government and companies and famous people. And it's not so easy to preach to them, but if you can, it's good. Some famous people, they are favorable to Krishna consciousness. And as we can see, George Harrison had major impact on the whole, world. And he was pretty Krishna conscious, so he helped out in that way. And, And then another part that Prabhupada explains in this purport is that I've read this many times in different purports of Prabhupada's books, is that the sex desire is actually what moves this universe. This is what keeps this universe going, is this sex desire. And that's why the living entity comes here, because they get envious and they come here to the material world to try and satisfy their selfish desires. And sex desire is the epitome of sense gratification in this world. And so all the living entities, ultimately, pretty much all their sense gratification is all leading up to sex life. How can I get sex life and how can I continue like this? And this is the problem, actually, with so many marriages. That's why we're seeing so much divorces in USA. 2/3 of all relationships in USA fail and they get divorced. It creates very bad society. It's because the male and female are trying to exploit each other. That's all. They don't even know what love is. Love is only for God. And you can also love others, but only if you love God first. And so they consider lust as love, actually. They're thinking, just because I feel lusty sexual desires for you, then I love you. It's totally crazy, but that's what's going on. And so after some time, after exploiting each other so much, then since they're both trying to exploit, the male and female, then their minds are actually fighting each other and they're trying, I want this, I want this. And so they start arguing, they start fighting, and even they have kids, and they're putting such a bad example for the kids. And so this leads to a great disaster, generally. Either they stay together and they like hate each other for like the next 30 years, and they get really bad arguments and fights, and I've seen it many times, and all over as I'm preaching, the couples are always fighting on the street, and it's crazy. And so this is, they either fight like that, or they, or if they stay together, this is very, generally, the people, they take many drugs to numb themselves. Oh, I hate this person who I have to be with for the rest of my life, so I'm gonna, like, take tons of drugs and take tons of alcohol, and then it'll be kind of okay. And so that's what they're doing in this world. They're taking these drugs and alcohol to forget. It's not even to enjoy. Forget about enjoyment. They only enjoyed for a little bit. And then, since their relationship is such a disaster, their enjoyment is finished. But just to negate suffering, they start taking massive quantities of alcohol and drugs. These pharmaceuticals. USA is like one of the only countries in the world where they're allowed to advertise for pharmaceutical depression drugs on the, TV. And they do. I mean, I haven't watched TV in several years, but I remember almost like half the commercials would be about different anxiety pills, this pill, that pill, and it's just, and it shows the TV commercial with the guy, he's all, the woman, she's all happy, and this really helped me, taking this pill, I love taking this depression, anxiety pill, now I'm having a great life. So it's really scary, but so, and then the kids, in turn, they also become very degraded, generally. They're thinking, it can go either way. Generally, the kids also get messed up in the head, and they don't know what to do with their life. But also, it can happen where they see, I don't want to be like my parents. That is bad life. How can I, do a better life than that, Generally, that doesn't hold up so much, though, because that's a good intelligence thinking, but as soon as they're wanting to get sense gratification, then their intelligence kind of goes in the background, and they're more focused on sense gratification. So this is something we should understand, especially for grihasthas. It's unfortunately, it's a problem in ISKCON where many young couples are getting divorced just after a few years. Happens many times. Many ISKCON marriages are failing. And why this is? I don't know. I'm a brahmachari. But my speculation is that many times it's this relationship is similar to the materialist. It's born out of lust and, passion. And so they just feel sexual attraction for each other. So when they go into a relationship, then problems come. They can't, they can't keep the, duty. Duty isn't very easy for a Westerner to accept. They can't really accept duty. And so they're thinking, what do I want? Forget duty. I just want to do what I want to do. And so this is a problem. And it's setting a bad example for, you know, the world. The Krishna consciousness movement is supposed to be the best, you know, spiritual movement on this planet. And it obviously is the best philosophy. It obviously is the easiest process. But we have to show practically why are so many having struggle? We should, you know, and from my humble opinion, I think it's because people are too much engaged in, you know, sense gratification. This is generally the symptom of all these other problems. Actually, so we should, you know, try to help out other devotees, you know, reading. We should also, the grihasthas should be reading so much these Prabhupada books. They should be reading to their kids, to their family, reading as a family, and, you know, coming to the temple many times. And so they should also be holding kirtans in their own homes, and this is very good. And so these are just some little suggestions for grihasthas and also for brahmacharis, you know. It's a little easier because we get to, you know, be in the temple without any distraction. This is easier for us. But in the same time, also, brahmacharis have, you know, it's the mind is also there, and that's also something brahmacharis have to always be. If you give the mind even 1 inch, then it will overwhelm you. If you give it one speck of freedom in the mind, it'll be a lot of trouble. And so this is, we should be on guard at every second of Maya and how she interacts with our mind. We should immediately, if some desire is there, we should immediately hit it with the broom and kick it out of our mind. And this is the way to, you know, how we do that is by chanting Hare Krishna. We should always chant Hare Krishna. This is the recommended thing. Many acharyas in our lineage, they have said that always remember Krishna and never forget him. And so it's like saying the same thing but in two different ways, but they say it like that because it's so important actually. The second you forget Krishna, that's when sense gratification is there, and then you'll have problem. So especially that leads to a contemplation of the sense objects, and contemplation of the sense objects, it's in like a needle and out like a plow, which basically means it's in very small, only little sense contemplations there. Oh, that's nice. And then it comes, and then boom, big problem on the other side. Then you could lead to a fall down, could lead to, you know, giving up Krishna consciousness. That's how powerful the material energy is, very powerful like that. So we should always be on guard at every second and always try to remember Krishna. We always have to remember, why am I doing this? I'm doing this for Krishna. Am I doing this for any other reason than Krishna? Then I shouldn't do it. So thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? So for mental speculation, basically mental speculation means if it's not in line with guru, sadhu, and shastra. And so if we're just thinking, you know, like, I think I can, you know, come up with a good way to do this, but the acharyas never said that, then we should understand that's kind of speculation. If we think we have some good idea, then we can, you know, go to our guru or look in the shastras or type in line, what did Prabhupada say about this? You know, we can do like that. And then that's how we check ourselves so we're not speculating so much. And then for sense gratification, what was the other part for sense gratification?
Yeah, not just that part, but mental speculation, just speculation.
Okay. Try. Okay. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay.